Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Today, we have our friend Allison here, and she is a pelvic floor queen, and she's going to tell us all about how it's not normal that all of us moms are peeing our pants all the time. For me, specifically, it's at the trampoline park, but she's here to tell us everything.
Yes. Good morning. I am Allison. I am the owner of One Strong Woman Therapy and the host of Vaginal Speaking Podcast. I started this journey after I had my daughter. We had, unfortunately, a very traumatic birth that ended up causing a lot of challenges. And we're just kind of told these were my new normals. This is things that I just had to get used to. And then we had our second child via C-section. Same kind of thing. Like, this is your new norm. This is what you're going to go through. And I was literally laying in the bed and I was like, no, this isn't okay. Women deserve more. We deserve more resources. And that's when I decided to open up One Strong Woman Therapy, where we specialize in pelvic floor and lactation services. So I am the person that loves to talk about all the taboo stuff and say all the things that everybody wishes they could say. I'll say vagina a million times and clitoris and all the things, because it shouldn't be hush, hush, whisper about those things. Those are our body and we should be able to talk about them, right? So the pelvic floor, first of all, yeah, we shouldn't be peeing our pants, okay? And it is very common to hear that at the trampoline park that we pee our pants, right? And so then we see either moms not going out there enjoying themselves like they can, or you see this fear of God in them when they jump up and they come down and they're like nervous of what happened. So we always joke that we wish that we would put pamphlets in all of the trampoline parks around here for our services, because in the bathrooms we're like, hey, did you just pee your pants? Come see us. So, why is that happening? Or like, what are some of the myths that I like to talk about? So first of all, I think probably every female listening to this has heard the word Kegels before, or Kegels, and have maybe been told to do them. Well, we're not about that jam. Kegels and Kegels, if you're doing them, we tell you to stop. Okay. Lots of reasons behind that. One, most of us are doing them incorrectly. Nobody's sitting there watching you, telling you if you're doing it right. And so you're not helping yourself out. Second, most females are actually high tone, meaning too much tension in their pelvic floor. And what happens when you do a Kegel, and if anybody's listening, they're like, okay, I really don't know what you're talking about. A Kegel is like when the doctor tells you to contract and relax, okay, in your pelvic floor. They'll tell you to pick up a blueberry. They'll tell you, some people will tell you before birth that you need to do 100 Kegels a day to prepare to push out your baby. Some people will tell you if you're peeing your pants, okay, every stoplight you go to, do some Kegels. But if we have too much tone going on in our pelvic floor, then we're only solidifying that tone that's okay. So we're telling our body that's what we want, when in fact, that's not what we want. And then the biggest one of all, a Kegel is a Band-Aid. It doesn't get to the root cause of what's happening, right? We need to figure out what truly is happening in the pelvic floor and go fix that. Why is the body not able to coordinate? So in our body, throughout the day, a pelvic floor should be like a jellyfish, going down when you relax, coming up when you contract. So a big thing I'll tell people is like, take a big breath, nice deep breath. And most of us, if you tell them to take a deep breath, you're sitting at the doctor's office or a provider's office and you're going, right? Like, does that not like look familiar? Well, first, we just like did the breath completely backwards. So when you inhale is actually the relaxing part, not the exhale. So when we inhale, and we relax our pelvic floor all the way to our toes, we exhale and everything comes up. Yeah. Mind-boggling. What? Yeah.
Dude, this is crazy. I just bought this chick's like preconception, like workout program or whatever. And part of it is like some pelvic floor exercises, and she is not saying what you are saying. So I'm going to cancel that membership.
That's crazy. Like, that's the hard thing, right? Like, so there's lots that could go off of like those programs, because I love that there's programs out there for people when things aren't feasible or they just can't get to certain places or do certain things. But if you don't have the right education or approach, like, you're doing that person a disservice. And we also say everybody's individual, right? That's why we like to see people in person if we can, because everybody's body is different. But breathing is what everybody should be doing the same. And I tell people that we're like, okay, we've been breathing for our whole lives. How did we mess it up? How did we go opposite than what we are supposed to do? Well, I blame society a lot. Like, how many of us females have been told, suck it in, hold it tight, look skinny and fit, right? Well, if you hold in your stomach and try to take a deep breath, it'll go nowhere. Literally, if you hold your stomach in and then try to take a deep breath, it'll stop at your chest.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Right? And then what's that feel like in your vagina? A lot of pressure. So we can't do, first of all, we got to let the tummy free. Okay, let it go. Be nice and relaxed. We all like that. And then we've got to really work on our breathing, because if we don't have our breathing correct, where we inhale and everything goes down, we exhale and we come up, then what's happening is we're fighting that pelvic floor. So the coordination should go together. The diaphragm and the pelvic floor need to go together as one. Otherwise, we get this inner abdominal pressure is what we call it. Or like, think about, you know, a pop can, we shake it up. And then as soon as it finds an opening, what happens? It explodes. So same can go with like our pelvic floor. All this pressure happens. And then we go jump on a trampoline and comes out the vagina, because it's like, technically urethra, but it comes right out, and because it found an opening and it's like, oh, I can't have this pressure building up. Right.
Interesting.
So Kegels out. Don't do them, people. Biggest thing that you can start doing for yourself, if you're like, okay, all this stuff is kind of sounding familiar or also sounding crazy, start with the breathing. And literally, we're going to do diaphragmatic 360 breathing. So you want your stomach to fill, but you also want your ribs to expand 360. We also, some of us are probably very used to hearing like, pull your belly button to your back, right? Like to grip your abs. So I always tell people there's a difference between sucking in, a difference between gripping our abs, and a difference between engaging our abs. Okay. And we want to engage, not flex or grip, and not suck in. And so if we do that properly and we engage our deep core, it's like it is our, if everybody knows where their hips are on their body, right? It's like there's a zipper and we're zipping those together. And so the belly button kind of goes up at an angle, up and in, not back, not straight back, up and in. So there's a lot of analogies that you can think of your pelvic floor. I said the jellyfish. The other one is, I like to throw it back to the 90s parachute game that we all played in the gym class, right? So when we're nice and relaxed, the parachute's on the ground, right? We inhale, it's on the ground. We exhale, that parachute comes up. Same thing with our pelvic floor, okay? Or an elevator. We're inhaling, that elevator is going all the way down. We exhale, that elevator comes up, okay? I can't say it enough that breathing is like the biggest thing you can do for your pelvic floor. It's also the most annoying thing. If I was sitting listening to me right now, I'd be like, this is bullshit. Like, I'm not working on breathing for my pelvic floor. It's not going to help me not pee my pants, but it is. It also helps bring awareness. So many of us have turned off our mind from our pelvic floor, that like we think we know the connection there, but we really don't. And what I love to tell my patients is the pelvic floor isn't just physical. Very psychosocial, very emotional and trauma filled. We hold absolutely everything in the womb area, have we had children or not, because that's how we are built as females. And so our minds may be at peace with something that's happened or we have moved on, but if our body hasn't been told that it's safe and that it can accept certain things, then it's holding on to it for dear life. And that's where individuals can have difficulty with like pain with intercourse or insertion, right? Even if they're with a safe partner and they want to participate in the activity, they might be ready. Their mind is for it. And as soon as that act happens, the body's like, absolutely not. I'm not going to allow it. It's why people can have challenges with bowel movement. So one of my episodes, I talk about like all the things that we were taught when we were in childhood about go to the bathroom just in case because we're going on a road trip, right? Push out your poop, hurry up, we got to go. Hover over the toilet because don't sit on it, there's germs, right? Mm-hmm. Hold your urine until recess time because we're working on a math problem. All those things actually are huge impacts to our adult pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. And so like we have to kind of like uncover those. So some people will come in to me and they'll say, I've never had good bowel movements. I've had a hard time my whole life. All right, let's dig into that because that's not normal. Common, not normal. Sorry, I've gone on like a huge rant and like gone lots of different places. Questions so far on like what I've said or like
I'm anything. I'm mind blown. Yeah, you're blowing my mind, sister.
I love
it. Super interesting. So is it true then that like they say I'm like heavy in the birth world. And so everything's all, you know, connected. So like they say like relax your jaw, relaxes your pelvic floor. Is that sort of stuff true?
Absolutely. So if I tell people if you're clenching your jaw, you're clenching your pelvic floor.
Wow.
So
they're buzzing their jaws right now.
Yes. Yeah. Right. People are like, oh, I didn't even know I was clenching it. Right. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like your butt. How many people stand at the sink or folding laundry or doing anything? And all of a sudden they're like, why am I clenching onto my butt cheeks like somebody was going to credit card me?
Okay. I noticed that in later pregnancy that was happening a lot, mm-hmm. was the butt clenching.
And it's like our bodies are smart. So what I tell people is like our bodies know how to compensate so that we can function. We're young enough. It's going to figure out what to do so that we can get through our day and we can get through the activities we need to. But it can cause challenges down the way. So you're absolutely right. And with birth, like you just said, that's like a huge thing that we tell people when they're getting prepared to deliver is like nice, relaxed jaw when it's time like that you're in labor. Because if you can relax this, you can relax your pelvic floor, right? Off of the birth topic, another misconception that we hear is that you need to do the Kegels to strengthen your pelvic floor to push the baby out, mm-hmm. right? But really, our uterus should be pushing the baby out. So we actually have to teach our pelvic floor to get out of the way. We need to teach it how to relax and move so that our body can do what it needs to do. We'll have a lot of people tell us they were told to purple push, right? Hold your breath and push. Yeah. It's absolutely awful. We will help coach people on how we recommend breathing through it. And I'll go through that in a second. But I tell people, even if you get it backwards, it's better than holding your breath. Like, so when you feel a contraction coming on, what we tell you to do is take a really good inhale, a nice deep inhale to start that relax. And then when we get to the peak of that contraction is when we're going to push, right? But you need to exhale during that. Don't hold your breath. And in fact, there's a lot of correlation between purple pushing and tearing.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're not allowing our body to relax. If we are stressed here, we are stressed there. We need to relax everything so that it can do what it needs to do.
Wow.
Makes sense.
Jordan, did you tear in birth? Did you tear?
I did not tear, but I wish I went to a pelvic floor therapist afterwards, but mm-hmm. I can't help but think like I was missing out on something by not going even before pregnancy, but definitely during pregnancy. I feel like that could have helped a lot.
Yeah.
My pushing phase was like 4 or 5 hours.
That's a long time.
It was a long time.
I'm sure you were absolutely exhausted. And it's amazing that you didn't tear. So like, that's incredible.
Wild. I had a huge bruise on my butt. I had like a hematoma for like 2 weeks, but.
Did you sit on a donut?
I didn't sit on a donut, but I peed in the shower for like a week standing because I couldn't sit on the toilet.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. And like, we do hope that, I mean, one, we really recommend like if somebody is thinking of like getting pregnant soon, we do really recommend coming into pelvic floor because we talk about the nervous system and fight or flight, right? And if our body can be in the optimal like position and how it feels, then our body is more willing to want to conceive and want to bear a child because it doesn't feel like it's in survival. Right.
So
One thing I'll say that people will hear out there is that pelvic floor can help with infertility. I have a hard time really talking about that because that's obviously a very sensitive subject. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is that research does show that IVF is 50% effective and so is pelvic floor. So which one do you want to try?
Interesting. Right? I had no idea.
Crazy.
And I really think of it more as that nervous system aspect and that fight or flight, right? Because if your body is stuck in fight or flight, it's still trying to survive you. So why would it think that it's time to have a child, right?
Mm,
obviously, sure. There's different cases and there's different scenarios. But so we do recommend people coming in. And then if anything, also before getting pregnant, it also helps, again, bring that awareness. So many women have shut their brain off to their pelvic floor and they just mm-hmm. think of it as a canal and something is inserted and taken out. And that it is, and that's how we feel about it. So bringing that awareness. And so during pregnancy, we recommend people seeing us typically in the second trimester, unless they're having a lot of pain prior or challenges, then we want to see you. But what we're doing is, first of all, any of those things you were told that were normal during pregnancy, back pain, no, common. Yeah. Pubic symphysis pain, like lightning crotch, common, not normal. Like we shouldn't have to deal with that. Ab separation, to an extent, that is normal. But we
I was
going
to ask
yes,
about that.
It is to an extent, right? Because it does have to make room for baby.
Right.
But we also want to strengthen the core to make sure, one, that it's able to help us during delivery, but two, that it is able to recover better postpartum, right? Because we can allow that doming that happens, if people have heard of that, when they do like sitting up or any kind of exercise, when it goes this dome, that's not normal.
Mm.
If we see that during exercising, right? Because you don't have to be afraid to exercise when you're pregnant. If you were a hardcore CrossFitter or you were a marathon runner and you were doing that before pregnancy, you can do that during pregnancy. But what you want to do is listen to your body. So that's why I tell people, I'm never going to tell you not to do something. But if your body's telling you and whispering, hey, like this doesn't feel good, it's telling you for a reason. And we got to listen.
So there's a connection between the pelvic floor and the ab separation is what
yes.
you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Wow. I need to tell my oldest sister has the worst coning and like ab sep. Like you can like, it's massive, but I don't think she's ever tried PT. She literally thought about getting, they told her if she did like a tummy tuck, that like that would, and she's tiny. She's maybe 10% body fat. I'm not kidding. She's tiny, but they told her like that might be the only way to make her like coning ab separation go away, because she just pisses her pants 24/7. But that's crazy. I'm going to tell her she needs to. Yeah. She needs to see a PT.
She needs, and specifically somebody that knows how to do pelvic floor, because our pelvic floor is our diaphragm all the way to the vaginal opening. So if you think about that, that's huge. We think of just literally the pelvic floor, but it involves our deep core and our back muscles, right? And our diaphragm. So if your older sister isn't able to engage her deep core, which is typically where we're starting to have that separation. So the separation happens in the recti abdominis, the diastasis is what is happening. It is a muscle that is functioning, but I call it kind of like our surface, like outer appearance muscle, right? That's where usually people will see like the six pack that muscles. And our transverse abdominal muscles are deep underneath it. We have to figure out how to engage those deep muscles to help everything else come back together. So if you just do a bunch of core, it's not gonna help.
Could that also be why? Because again, she is absolutely just tiny, but like she looks almost bloated sometimes. And she's like, I don't like even if she's not even eating, can that be also like, because her abs are so separated, they're like not coming together?
It can be one of the components. I'd be curious, like, has she had children?
Yes. Yeah. She had two.
Has any of them been C-section?
Yes. Her second.
Okay. So it can be because of her abs. It can also be because of her C-section scar. So a lot of people will talk about like the mom shelf. And the mom shelf is usually because the C-section scar has some adhesions. And we see the outer C-section scar, but our inner scar is usually above it. And that's the one that people kind of forget that they need to work on. And so what happens is those adhesions pulls everything back, and then we get the shelf over top. Right. And it can just get more and more aggravated. I'd also be curious then if like we have any PCOS or endo. That's a very common thing that will make us look very bloated throughout the day. It usually is those people that start off real flat in the morning, and then by the end of the day, they're nice and bloated, look like they have a little belly when they don't. But I would guess it's a combination. Right.
Wow.
I'm going to guess it's all of that aspect. And I would be very shocked if she doesn't have some back pain with a big separation like that. And yeah. if she doesn't have back pain, then if she's really good at compensating, I bet her piriformis and her butt is really tight and holding on for dear life.
Wow. This is mind blowing. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. I feel like I've been taught so backwards of what you're saying.
I mean,
not even taught, just seen online. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. We're not taught.
Yeah.
That's a problem, right? We're not really taught.
Should be a class in this should be a health class subject in high school.
Absolutely. Females should first of all learn about their bodies in general. Like how many of us don't really
even a period.
Right. We literally I talk about that of we watch a VHS. I don't know about you guys, but we watched a VHS in elementary school to teach us about our periods.
Yeah.
And it basically showed cartoons growing armpit hair and pubic hair and then starting a period. And that was it. Okay. We didn't talk about the stages of the cycle. We didn't talk about the things that can happen. We didn't talk about the structure of the pelvic floor. Every single anatomy book showed the same looking vulva and vaginal
opening.
And it was
opening. In fifth grade, too. What am I going to do with that in fifth grade? You know?
Correct. And then it's we go the opposite way. And then health class in junior high and high school is don't have sex. You'll get pregnant.
You'll die.
Yeah. You'll die and get pregnant. Or you'll get an STD and then you'll die. So
either way, you're dying.
Either way, you're dying. So sorry. So what is that? That's not the education we need, right? And I mean, that's probably my greatest mission is what I want to empower women and help educate them. But can't we just open up this conversation and make it normal talk? Both my children, I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. And they use the correct anatomical words. And the first time my daughter ran up to my dad and said, Papa, I'm a girl because I have a vagina and you're a boy because you have a penis. My dad was literally mortified. And he just looked at me and what am I supposed to say? I'm not going to come up with a nickname. come on, you know what I do? But then then another time she ran out and she's like, do you know, Papa, I came out of mommy's vagina and Arthur came out of mommy's tummy. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But you're right, sis. But we need to have these conversations and there's a way to approach it that is educational, not fear tactic. And I think it will only increase safety of our children if we actually talk about the correct stuff and what happens. And why don't boys and girls learn about each other? Why do we separate children through puberty? I mean, I get it and I don't, because women go through it before, girls go through it before boys. So then can you imagine if a little boy sees a girl with a big old blood stain on the back of her pants? One, he might be mortified because he's this chick's bleeding out of her butt. And two, then he's ew, what is that, right? But if we would just talk about it, there's so many other countries that it's just a normal conversation and it should be. But I think that's why, when I say some of these words, vagina all the time or orgasm or clitoris, people are like, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? Oh my gosh, these are part of our body. We should. Fun fact, your clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. How many is that? What is it compared to a man?
Double. And the clitoris is literally the only organ in the body that's meant for pleasure.
Oh, interesting. You're muted, Kate, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
I just said, wow, that's crazy.
So we,
the more you know.
Yep. There's nothing on the male body that's meant just for solely pleasure. They're meant to procreate. Our clitoris is meant for pleasure. Another big thing that is kind of taboo to talk about and shouldn't be with the females is orgasms, right? First of all, if you're having intercourse, maybe you're doing it to have a child, maybe you're not, but I sure as hope that you're always hoping to have an orgasm because we should all have those. It's meant to be fun, right? And I don't know how many women come in and they're like, it's me. I can't do it. I'm the problem. I can't have an orgasm. And it's not them. First of all, only 18%
your husband. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Right.
We got to teach them where the clit is. Only 18% of women can orgasm by penetration alone.
Oh, interesting.
So we need external stimulation. Okay.
Interesting.
Another fun fact is men are aroused and orgasm in 7 minutes. Women, 40. Like, huge disconnect.
Crazy.
Right? Huge. Now, also, oh. I don't know about you guys, but there's so many women that literally will be in the act and they're like, I'm there. Okay, why isn't it happening, right? Well, earlier I was talking about that contract, relax. So for an orgasm, we contract. We relax. That's where the orgasm happens. So lots of women can't relax. So they're stuck like, why can't I do this? They might have 500 tabs open. They might have some of that psychosocial thing going on with their body, but they can't get their body to relax. And then that's causing that disconnect for them that they should be having.
Interesting. So what would be the best way to work on the relaxing part? Like nervous system work or the breathing work or just all of it?
I mean, definitely I would say all of it, but the nervous system, I mean, I would like want to check in with that person. Can you feel anything going on in that act? Like, does something come to your mind? Does your body do something in particular? That's going to tell us some stuff. The breathing is going to probably be your closest to being able to like separate that stuff and have that relaxing, because if you can train your body just to relax with that breath. However, that's all easier said than done, right? It can take a long time to work on the nervous system and the vagus nerve. It can take a lot to figure out the breathing. So in the meantime, what I tell people is, let's work on our senses. So tap into the other senses and see if we can distract our body. So that might be by smell. That might be by sound. That might be by touch. So maybe you have like a weighted blanket or a different type of sheet. Like, utilize that, a candle or a diffuser.
Diffuser.
Or music that you have on, or maybe it's not even music, it's a sound machine. But like, if we can distract our senses so that our body can start to feel relaxed, then hopefully while we're working on the other things, that would help.
Does that make sense?
I mean, I know that's a long answer and that's like a lot of things, but
yeah,
something to try to trick our body in a good way to do while we're working on the other stuff.
That totally makes sense. So I was surprised when I went to a pelvic floor therapist. I don't know why I was surprised. I don't know. I shouldn't have been surprised, but I guess I didn't realize like an internal exam happens. So can you explain that? Like what that looks like? What are you guys looking for? Like how, like what that is, that process? Because it threw me off, which it shouldn't have. It totally makes sense. And I needed it, but can you explain it a little?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, you are not alone. Most people, I mean, one, I would tell you that's why most people don't want to come to us, is because they're nervous about the internal exam. So we do always tell people, like, we're never going to make you do something that you do not want to do. So an internal exam is a tool in the toolbox, and it is a big tool, but it's not the only tool. We can still learn a ton about you and start working on stuff. But for the internal exam, what we're looking for is, can our body do the coordination we need? So can it contract and relax? What does our vaginal wall muscles present like? So what I tell people is, if you feel between your thumb and your pointer finger and you see how there's mobility here, but there's still structure, right? It's not loosey-goosey, but this feels mobile. That's what we want our vaginal walls to feel like. If you make a tight fist and you feel here like it's bouncing back, that's tone. We don't want that, okay? And then if we come here, it's really gumby. That's low tone. We want the middle ground. We want structure and mobility. If we have a ton of tone, we need to let the body know we don't want that. If we have no tone, we've got to figure out why and try to strengthen that up. So we're looking at each layer. And we have three layers, and we know that by 1, 2, and 3. We have three layers to the pelvic floor. Okay, and each layer has a different job in our body that can help us kind of figure out what's going on and why. So you may have one side of your pelvic floor that's super, super tight and has a lot of tone. And then you may have the other side that maybe just has a little bit. that also tells us something. A lot of times it's not both sides that are like, are exactly the same because it's compensating, right? So it's just kind of like when people go to the chiropractor and they've got one hip up here and one down here, right? Well, you don't walk around looking like that. You don't look with your hip all the way up to the sky. Now, if you're like 85 years old, you do. Usually you can see them kind of with it like that. So we want to look and see the vaginal, the internal exam is telling us how your body is currently presenting. Are you able to do something on command, such as like we will ask you to do a Kegel? What happens habitually? So I'll usually have my patients cough and take a deep breath. So if you're sitting here listening, why I say to cough, if you're sitting and you feel comfortable, I would tell you to cup your pelvic floor right now. And then I want you to cough. And if you feel something go down into your hand when you cough, you went the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Your pelvic floor should lift. But most people will cough and it comes down. So that's something we want to see, right? That's habitual. We cough without really thinking about it. We sneeze, we laugh. Those are all forceful exhales. So we want to see what your body does. And then we want to see that tone. Of course, we also, if we see like any skin irritation, we want to let you know micro like cuts can happen from irritation. So we're looking at all of that. There's also that emotional psychosocial component. So I always tell my patients that, hey, if we are going to do the internal exam, I do want to prepare you that if we have some releases, sometimes our body can have emotional releases. And that can look like extreme fatigue. That can look like you're really sad. That can look like you're just foggy. And not that I want you to have those, but it tells me your body needed to let go of those. So I want to prepare you for the next 24, 48 hours that could happen. And some people will have them in the moment. I've had people just start crying they report for no reason. Their body just wanted to let go of it. I've had people I release internally and they feel their jaw just drop. Mm-hmm. I've had people tell me their right big toe. They could feel it all the way to their right big toe, right? Our bodies are incredible and it holds on to stuff from every part of our body. And that internal work is really great at telling us that. And if we can treat the internal work like any other body part and think of it as a muscle that we need to retrain, neural re-ed, they can do wonders. But obviously, it can be really hard to think that you're going to sit on a table and have somebody do this internal work. Now, I will say, hopefully for you, Jordan, it was like this. We don't have anybody sit on the edge of the bed like a gyno appointment and have their legs in stirrups with their vag all the way up in the air, right? Like your back on the table as best and as comfortable as you can be. We usually have people sit in butterfly position. We are always talking through everything. We will ask permission before any type of touch, always. And probably too many times for some people, they're like, I told you it's okay. We're like, no, we want to make sure that every part is understood and we have permission. And we'll talk through it. And then the biggest component to internal minus the relaxing the muscles if needed, again, is that connection. Because we don't have it. And if we can connect it, then we can start to know what our pelvic floor is doing and why it's doing it. Are we in a stressful situation? Our pelvic floor just went like this. Okay, so we're not going to be able to eliminate stress in somebody's life. But what are some coping mechanisms that we can do in that moment? Right. So that's where we have to look at that whole picture of somebody. And that internal exam can give us that whole picture. But again, if anybody's listening or you guys are like, yeah, I don't want that, that's okay because we can still do a lot without doing that exam. Mm-hmm. And we can also teach people how to do it on themselves and they can self-report. I've walked couples through it. I've like recorded videos of exactly step-by-step what's going to happen so that they could go home and they could listen to it, mentally prepare for it. Their spouse may help them do it before they come to me and do it. So we want to find the ground that makes sense for our patients. And that's why everybody is different. And that's why those online programs can be great, but they're not individualized for what that person needs. And I don't just mean that physically, I mean it mentally, right? Because it's a huge part of it all.
Yeah, that's you and my pelvic floor lady would get along great because that was like everything she did, like step by step. But I remember too, because she's over an hour away and it doesn't seem that far, but my daughter hates the car. So I hate driving that far. And my midwife was like, you have to make the drive. Like it is just so invaluable compared to a remote session, which it was. And that visual you did with the hand was actually really helpful because, yeah, she walked me through and she's like, okay, do you feel this? And like, I could feel it while she was doing it. But when I went home and did it myself, I'm like, I don't know what the heck she's feeling. Right. Like, this all feels the same down there. But like, I mean, I could feel like the discomfort on my end, but like, I couldn't tell the difference between like
the muscles.
The hard.
Yeah.
The yeah. I was like, yeah. It all feels the same. But that was like a really good visual with the hand there.
Well, thank you. But I'm glad that you had a pelvic floor therapist that did look at it in that way and like that holistic and talking through it because it's so important, right? I've had too many people have talked about that they just kind of felt like they had no choice about an external exam and then they get the electrodes put on their buttholes and asked to do Kegels.
What?
And it's like, how invasive does that feel? Like, what are you going to do with that?
So I don't know. That sounds fun though. Just kidding.
Kate, you look mortified. Know. You don't want to have electrodes on your butthole.
No, this is so mind-blowing. No, I feel like obviously I know everything is like interconnected, but it's just so crazy for you to even be talking about the pelvic floor and just how connected it is to like especially talking about the uterus and how it holds trauma, and I'm sure it holds generational trauma too, right? Like that's passed down from our moms and our grandmas and all of that. So this is just crazy because I'm sure a lot of people are like, well, I've never experienced trauma in my life. So like, I don't know why this would apply to me, but it's like people forget that we carry generational
trauma. Even like a scraped knee, like falling as a child, that's a trauma to your body. Like it's things people don't think about.
Exactly. And I do tell people that like big or small trauma in our mind, our body keeps it the same. It holds on to it the same way, no matter if we're like, oh, that was nothing. But it was, right? It was a ton and we hold on to it. And you're right, like generational trauma, absolutely. Our grandmas carried us in their bodies. We were in their bodies, right? Because as our mother was forming, our eggs were in there. We were in there, right? So that absolutely gets carried down. But even you think of like the generational like verbiage that we use for women to think about their bodies or being told things are normal. I mean, even the smallest thing of like being told, you'll pee your pants once you have kids. Just wait. It's fine. That's not fine. And why do we feel like that's fine? And what does our body do when my body gets the ick. Like, what? Ew. No, I don't want that to be fine. Now, should people feel alone? No. But like, we absolutely carry all of that there. And yeah, we need to be aware of it.
I remember my midwife came back. I gave birth at home. And so the next day she came back to my house and I said, I coughed and then I thought my vagina was going to fall out. It's like, no, this is not good. Not at all.
But not what we want.
Literally, that's how it felt. I was like, oh my God.
So let's say, because after I gave birth to my son, I did have a second degree tear and I definitely would. I just, as soon as she said I hit 10 centimeters, I just pushed the kid out because I was just, it was scaring me.
You're ready.
I just pushed him out as fast as I could. So I had a second degree tear, but Jordan, that feeling, like the heaviness of your vagina. And like, I think for a month I walked around hunched over because like, I truly felt like my butt and my vagina were going to fall out. Is that not normal after birth?
Wow.
We can feel some heaviness, right? And to an extent, the word prolapse, a lot of people are scared of, right? After having a baby, we can have a slight prolapse, but by 6 to 8 weeks, we should see that starting to go back to where we want it. So it shouldn't be feeling so heavy. Yes, we can feel heavy, but like literally feeling that it's going to fall out. No. And when we're having like bowel movements and you feel like something is pushing through your vaginal opening, right? Yeah. If we're talking the first couple days, okay, well, our body just went through trauma no matter if we wanted that vaginal birth, it was a great birth, it was C-section, it went through it. So we have to give it some recovery time, but we shouldn't be feeling like that all the time. And then second degree tear, Kate, I'd be very curious, did anybody tell you to work on that scar?
No, nobody told me anything. Nobody told me to do anything, but it did. It felt like a cinder block was sitting in between my butt and my vagina and like it was going to fall out at any second. So I will be coming to you before I have a next child to take care of this because
I love that. I love that.
I didn't, The last time a doctor has ever seen my vagina was probably my 6 week checkup, honestly. Mm-hmm. And that
and
was
how
six
fast
years
was
ago.
That?
Oh, it was
10
like
minutes?
5 minutes. Yeah. He was just like, you want birth control? And I was like, no. And he's like, all right, see you. See you next time this happens.
See
ya. Yeah. So yeah, I should be coming to get my stuff checked.
Yeah. I mean, we'd love to help you out with that. But I mean, I tell people like that scar, you're right. Nobody talks about it. Well, do we work on scars in the other part of our body? Absolutely. So they don't keloid, right? Or get really tight. Well, that is like a really, I'll tell you, that is one of the things that I had a second degree tear when I had my daughter. And nobody told me to do anything with that. When my husband and I started being intimate again, I had significant pain with intercourse and never had I had it before. I had never had pain. And it just felt like this ripping going right by the scar. And nobody even pointed that out. I was literally told to have a glass of wine by one of my providers. I kid you not. Have a glass of wine, just relax. And yeah, I'm like, there's a lot of problems there, but nobody told me until I took pelvic floor and they were like, we need to massage this because this is tight and pulling. And as soon as I did, boom, no more pain. Wow.
So did you not have plans to go to school for this until after you had kids and this happened?
So I was already an OT and I worked with peds. I worked with children. Yep. So I had already gone through school, and then the specialization of pelvic floor is like continuing education.
Got it.
But no, if you would have told me in school that I was going to be working with women and vaginas every day, I would have literally been like, absolutely not. You're lying. Mm-hmm. I'm working with kids. But I will tell you, it is incredibly empowering. And like, being able to create this safe environment for women to talk about the things that they feel like they have to whisper or keep inside their head, and feeling like they don't have to be hopeless there's no words for it, because it's like, that's how we're meant to be. We're meant to be a community and a tribe amongst each other and work in that way. And I feel like that's what's like being built and should be like it should just be standard care. Right. That's and beautiful. In fact, it is in a lot of other countries, just not here.
Yeah. Not here. Why would it be?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why would it be? We give everyone the bare minimum. That's crazy. Jordan, do you have any other questions you want to ask?
Not off the top of my head. I'm sure I could talk about this all day with you. I'm sure you could too. But yeah, no, I think this was a great episode and I really appreciate you coming on, and I'm excited. I'm going to go listen to your podcast now.
Yeah, thank you. Same. Can you tell everyone where to find you?
Yes. So the podcast, Vaginally Speaking, is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as YouTube. And it's where we really talk about that raw, authentic talk about, for real women, what we feel like we need to talk about and we can't. So please come give it a listen. And anytime that you're listening, you're like, I wish you would talk more about this or this happened, like, please shoot me a DM at Vaginal Speaking Pod or One Strong Woman Therapy. Because I want to be that person that can talk about it openly for you guys. So I really appreciate you guys having me on. You're right. I could talk about this for like days, and I love talking about this, but I really appreciate you guys having me on and opening it up to your audience to hear the things that they should.
Of course. And if you're local to me, Allison is local to us. So you can go see her in person and be.
Yes. Please do. And there's 9 of us therapists there. So we're ready to take you guys on. So, and for women.
When I come visit Kate, is it like not worth it to just come see you one time, or like is one time better than no times?
So I'd say one time's better than no time, because what we can do is we can see you and we can do follow up virtually.
Oh, okay,
wow.
Cool.
Beautiful. Yeah, awesome. We'll all get our pelvic floors checked together.
Yes.
Vagina party.
Really, really, really fast. Kate, were you at that book club when somebody asked me how many people have been checked by me? Were you at that
no,
one?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
What's the number, though?
I mean, so I think at that book club, there was like 30 people. And one of the other girls was like, okay, how many people have had their vagina touched by Allie? Which sounds really wrong, right? And literally, I bet you not, it was like 25 of them. And the person looked at me and she was like, well, I guess your business is taken off.
Yeah. Like, apparently. That's amazing.
Yes.
That's incredible.
So, yes. Well, thank you
ladies. So much for being on. We loved it. And this is going to be so helpful to so many moms who pee their pants.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes on, in, and around their families. We'll be back next week with another conversation, but until then, trust your instincts, question to everything, and stay unbothered.